welcome to his house this morning. And we praise the Lord for this beautiful day, for the sunshine, for everything. So we are going to have our Sunday school lesson as usual. Shall we just stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer?
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find it's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He is passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
This morning for your kindness, for your mercy, and for your goodness to us, O Lord. You have given us this privilege to be gathered this morning in your house as brethren, to fellowship and to worship and to praise you, O Lord. Now we commit our gathering into your hands, O Lord, because if you are not in our midst, O Lord, it will just be like a worldly gathering of people, O Lord. But you in our midst will make this gathering a special meeting, O Lord. That's why we know that you are always faithful to fulfill your word, O Lord. And you are here before even we came, O Lord. That's why we commit ourselves into your hand, asking, O Lord, that our mind should be focused, O Lord, on the service of worshiping you, praising and singing and giving our praises to you, O Lord. Now bless your people, bless the children upstairs with their Sunday school, bless the youth, be with us here. Bless the whole service from beginning to the end, O Lord. Let your anointing be upon every one of us who will be playing any role in this service. The listener, the singers, the song leader, the preacher, everybody, O Lord. Let you take the leadership as we commit ourselves into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So 2 weeks ago, we started our new lesson on the church. So we were looking at understanding exactly what the church, is, and how to become member of that church. And how do you know that you are part of the church or you are not part of the church? What exactly the church means to you? Because many times we all say, we go to church, we are coming to church, I love my church, I have a church. But we have to understand exactly what is a church and what is your relationship, what kind of connection you should have between you and the church. And then you will know if really you are the church, if really you are part of the church, or only you are you know, a member of a gathering of people, because you may be sitting in our midst, in a group of people, but not being really a part of that group. So we were looking at how the prophet puts it. The first time that God mentioned this notion of church was with the people of Israel when they were leaving Egypt. Because a church itself means a group of called out people. You are called out from somewhere to go to be brought to somewhere different. You are separated. You are called out. That's what the word church means. So we were seeing at the first lesson that Israel, even though there were a multitude of people that left Egypt, but they were not all of them the church yet. Because many of them left Egypt, but Egypt didn't leave them because it took a complete separation. It was not only a change of location. It was not only a change of dwelling place, but it was a change, a complete separation. One had to come out of Egypt, and Egypt had to come out of the person. But we saw in the first Exodus that many, they left Egypt, but they brought Egypt with them. So though they were in the desert, though they were in the journey going, to prove that they didn't really leave Egypt, or Egypt didn't leave them, anytime they were facing a trouble, anytime they were facing a challenge, they were referring back to Egypt. When we were in Egypt, let's go back to Egypt. In Egypt, why? Because they still had an attachment to Egypt. They were not a separated people yet. In other words, they were not the church of God yet. Amen. So that's what we saw in the first lesson. Today, what we are going to see is just that concept of church, how the Lord Jesus put it. When Jesus mentioned a church in his ministry, we know the scripture is in Matthew 16, when he was in Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciple. We are going to read it, Matthew 16, 13 to 18. Matthew 16, 13 to 18. When Jesus came into the courts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He says unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. So when Jesus mentioned this notion of church in his ministry to his disciple, is revealing an aspect, a particular aspect on what the church will be built on. He says to Peter, "It's not flesh and blood that revealed it to you, but it's my Father." And on that revelation of who I am, because you have understood, you have got the revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's my Father that has given you that revelation. And upon that revelation, I'll build my church. Amen. So the church, the cornerstone on which the church sits, is a revelation. To build the church, we have to start with a revelation. With no revelation, if you don't have a revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, because it's not any revelation, but it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you don't have that revelation, the church has not started yet.
The Lord said it's upon the revelation that is going to build the church. Amen. So let's go back to Egypt now. Those who came out, we know it must be based upon a revelation. For one to say, I am a called out, I'm the church of God, he must have gotten a revelation of what he was doing. That's why many, they left Egypt without getting the revelation. They were not built upon the revelation. That's why they could be shaken. Because they were not a solid rock when they were where they were anchored upon. Amen. That's why they were shaken. But to come out of Egypt in the first Exodus, it has to be based upon a revelation. Because that going out, that calling out that Moses came to proclaim, Moses didn't just come out of the cloud and say, let's go out. It was based, there was a background to it. There was a promise. What Moses was fulfilling was just what God said to Abraham 400 years before, that your seed will sojourn in a foreign country and they'll be made slaves. But after that, at a marked time, at an appointed time, I will come and deliver them. So there was a promise. And even when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, it was based upon the promise that he made to Abraham. He was telling Moses, I'm sending you because I spoke to Abraham many generations before you that this day I would come and deliver my people. So the coming of Moses was a fulfillment of a promise. Amen. Amen. The coming of Moses was an accomplishment of something that God had proclaimed before. So when Moses came now to proclaim to the people that we are going out, for one to really get the full benefit of what God was doing that day, he had first to understand, to realize that I am the seed of Abraham. Amen. It had to start there because the promise was to the seed of Abraham. He had to realize first himself that I am a seed of Abraham. And to my father Abraham, God made a promise that one day we will be in bondage, but after a certain number of years, he would come down and get us out of bondage. So I am a fulfillment today of that promise. This Moses that I'm seeing is a fulfillment of a promise of God. One had to get the revelation that Moses, as he is coming to bring me out, he is the fulfillment of something that God has previously promised. So it was based upon that revelation that one had to leave Egypt. First, you have to realize his condition, that I am a slave. I'm not on my normal state. I'm not a free man. I'm not a free woman. I'm in bondage. And he must be willing. He must be longing for a better life. There's a free life somewhere. Something in him was telling him that there's something better than this life. This life of bondage is not the life I am intended to. Realizing that he's in bondage and he's the son of Abraham, that the promise was made to him. And seeing Moses coming to fulfill that promise. So there was a background job that has to be done first for someone to leave. But many of them didn't go through that process. They just saw a Moses coming. It was fashion. Someone just come, oh, we have lived so long in Egypt. I want to change my dwelling place. I've lived so much into this country. Things are not working well. So since Moses has come and is bringing a very good sounding message, let's just follow Moses. Many of them, they didn't really catch what meaning was behind Moses' message. Many of them didn't really understand, didn't get the revelation of what they were doing. Jesus says the church must be built upon the revelation. Since they didn't have the revelation, they just followed Moses. Let's go. Oh, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. They still had a lot of ties. They still had a lot of bonds in Egypt, as we said last time. Many of them, maybe they were businessmen. They had people who were their debtors. You know, they owed them money. Many of them, they did, I don't know, they were in courtship, maybe. They were dating a girl in Egypt. Some of them, they were, you know, movie stars or whatever. They had a lot of interest in Egypt yet. So the message just came, let's go. Ah, you are going. Yes, you are going. Oh, I'm following you. They just went, but they still had a lot of attachment with Egypt. So when they faced the very first challenge, the Red Sea, Moses, we told you when we were in Egypt, why did you bring us here? They still had the attachment to Egypt. Because we have to know that the Bible says in, I think, in James, a double-minded person is unstable. Because when you have options, you know, you still have choices. You still have one or two options. Okay, I have my plan A. If it doesn't work, I have my plan B. But an army, when they are fighting, they know that there's no way back. Amen. If we go back, it means we are dead. Amen. So there's only one way, go forward or die. There's no plan B. But when you have a plan B, you know there's another way here. If it becomes very hard here, I'll take the other way. A double-minded person can't be very focused, can't be stable in his way. Amen. That's why God doesn't want that. Amen. They were double-minded. They still had, okay, let's follow Moses. Maybe that land may exist somewhere. If it's okay, we'll be there. If it doesn't work, I still have my business in Egypt. When it doesn't work, first challenge, let's go back to Egypt. Amen. But those who forsook completely, those who abandoned completely Egypt, for them there was no choice. It's a one-way direction. We are going, God said so. Whatever happened, they were ready to face any challenge. They were ready, anything that could raise before them, they had the revelation. My brother, that's a very important thing to get. If you are coming to church just because you were born in a Christian family, because since you were a baby, your dad was bringing you to church, one day you'll face a challenge that is bigger than you. You'll go back to the world. If you are going to church just because your husband is pulling you to go to church, one day your husband will die. Amen. Or one day your husband will backslide. Amen. And if he backslides, what will you become? Because you were just following him. It must be a personal revelation. You are built, you are, you know, well established. Whatever happened, the Red Sea is there. Pharaoh's army is behind. There's a mountain on both sides. I know my Redeemer liveth. He will make a way for me. Whether it's through the sea, through the wilderness, wherever I go, my Lord will make a way for me. I have the revelation. I know God said so. That's why I'm following. If you don't have that understanding, if you don't have that revelation, your coming to church will be just a ritual. But you need to be anchored completely. That's why we want to understand exactly what is a church. What is the church? You must take it personally. Because at one stage we'll gather, we'll come all together. But for now, we are looking individually. But because what makes the church? It's you, him, her, him, me. When we come together, after receiving individually that revelation, I've received my revelation. My wife has received her revelation. My child has received his revelation. And all together now, based upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, then we are the church. Amen. If I have the revelation, You don't have the revelation. He doesn't have the revelation. Yes, we'll be a group of people. We'll be called Dublin Church, but you are not part of the church of Jesus Christ because you are not built upon the revelation. And when the wind, the storm will come, it will shake you. And you will be like those in the desert. Let's go back to Egypt. And you will go back to Egypt. Amen. So that's why we see that it has to be a personal revelation. And when you have got that revelation personally, my sister, my brother, nothing can shake you. You are ready to, even if they want to take your skin out of your body. That's why they could accept to go on the stake to be burnt alive. Because they knew what they believed. Because they were based upon the rock. They could be beheaded completely. They were ready to give away their lives. Any challenge that could stand before them, they knew that we are based, we are anchored upon the rock. Amen. So, if you are not, one day the trial will come. One day a test will come. And the test may come not only from the world. It may come from the church itself. One day, because Jesus, he came to establish a church. Amen. He found Simon and his brother, I think Andrew. And he found John and his brother. They were fishing. Come and follow me. They left everything. They were really in the way to become the church. But they got the revelation. They understood that this man, even Philip went to tell his brother Nathaniel. We found the one Moses spoke about in the law. When Nathaniel came, he saw, they left everything, they followed him. They got the revelation. Some got the same call from Jesus. They followed him as well. There was a great multitude of people, but they were not all the church yet. They were just a group of followers. They were following that miracle-performing man. He was doing good things. He was giving them bread. He was a good speaker and everything. But they came a time of test because he wanted to shake his group now. He wanted to show them that I'm building a church. I'm not just building a club or a gathering of people. Now it's time to give you a test. You have overcome a few things, yes. You have overcome the attacks of the Pharisees, yes. You have overcome most of the mockeries people are saying about me. You are following me. That's good. But the testing time came. He says, if you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and don't drink his blood, you will not enter. It was completely against what was written in their law. Moses said before that you can't eat a human flesh or drink blood. But Jesus wanted to put them to a test. Did you get the revelation? Or you just thinking, we are just following, we are just building a wall. The church is not a wall. The prophet says, the church is not a wall. We are not building a wall. Expect sometime we'll make corners. You know, you are used to going straight, but at some stage, we'll make a corner. And it's on turning point that many people fall. Because when we bring now, we'll go into deep teachings. When they start telling you about the serpent seed, that's where people start dropping. When Jesus started preaching about the serpent seed on his time, you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. Some of them that didn't have the revelation, they just said, oh, this man, this is false doctrine. The Pharisees said this man is a magician. Now we can see that he's a magician. They've told us not to follow him because he has a demon. Now we see that he has a demon. So people that didn't have the revelation of who he is, they were not built up on that revelation. They started leaving. Amen. Himself was not even, you know, bothered at all. They left. You know, sometimes you say, oh, I went to that church. You know, they preach things there, they left me, go, they are not good, they don't encourage fellowship. Jesus didn't follow them. They left, Jesus left them go. He was looking, watching them go. He didn't say, oh, please come back. No, he left them go. And on top of that, those who stayed with him, he asked them, and you, are you not living as the others? So he was not afraid. My brother, we don't want to make big numbers. The prophet says, God doesn't count his group. God weighs his group. Amen. You may be big number. You may find a big person like this, but it doesn't weigh much. A small person like this, God looks at quality, Amen. Not quantity. Amen. Jesus was not looking at quantity. The big quantity left. Those who remained, he asked them, are you not living as well? Because he wanted to make sure that those who stay are those who are built upon the revelation. Those who remain are those who have exactly got the revelation. Listen to what Peter said. After Jesus made that declaration that led many to leave, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. It's John 6, 68 to 69. Then said Jesus unto the 12, after the group left, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Ask them, are you not following them? Because what I've said, it just made people to get stumbled. They've left. Are you not following them? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Peter and the disciple were anchored on the right foundation. They knew they were built upon the foundation on which he wanted to build this church. Are you not following them? Are you not leaving, going away as well? He said, to whom shall we go? Because we know you are the Christ. And since we know you are the Christ, we are built upon you. And we are now the church of the living God. My brother, if you don't get the revelation of who is Jesus Christ, and you are coming to church not based upon that revelation, one day you will drop. One day is just a matter of time. One day you will drop. And dropping doesn't mean not coming to church, not coming to this building. You still will be coming. You may still come to the building, but you have dropped already. Maybe just to make a good, outward appearance, not to stumble your dad or your wife or to keep harmony in the family. You will just come to church, but you have dropped long time ago. That's why you need that revelation. You have not started your Christian life if you don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as the supreme authority, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you don't have that revelation of Jesus Christ, my brother, you will drop one day. When the shakes will come, when the gates of hell will open, and the gates of hell, sometimes when you say the gates of hell, we think it's something, spooky, something very scary that will come. No, the gates of hell are very nice looking. They are very nice looking. It may be a nice looking lady. That's the gates of hell. It may be a nice sounding music. It may be big money. That's the gates of hell. It may be the promise to get a good name somewhere, popularity. Those are the gates of hell. Don't always think the gates of hell is a spooky place where you have devil with tails and, bows. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. But when those gates of hell will open up, will you be able to stand? You won't be able to stand if you are not built upon the revelation. Amen. So we praise the Lord.
That was our lesson today. Amen. And next time, we'll see now the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because we can't talk about the church if we don't speak about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. You must get the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And catch that revelation, then you will realize if you are built upon it or you are not built upon it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, we commit these few words into your hands. We believe, O Lord, that it was you speaking to your people. We believe that we have been taught, O Lord, and let us apply it to our lives, O Lord. Give us exactly, O Lord, that complete, that real revelation of who you are, O Lord, because without the revelation of Jesus Christ, we can't be called the church. We can't even be called your people, O Lord. That's why, bless your people, grant us your mercies, bless the remaining of the service. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.